Right, okay. I'm sitting comfortably. Are you sitting comfortably, Anna?
Do you know what? I always feel when we come back to the car like, oh, it's where it all began, isn't it? Do you not get a sense of comfort doing a podcast in the car?
It's been a while since I've been in a car with you.
Last time we were in the car was on my driveway. Yeah.
When was that?
Earlier on this year, or maybe last year. It's been a long time since we got... Earlier on this year. Yeah.
Now, back in the day, we used to park up in some... I want to say unusual places where we got, like, I mean, we parked in near drive-through fast food restaurants. That was an interesting one. Some popular nighttime activity spots. That's all I'll say, because now that we are
sponsored,
yes, we have to be careful how we refer to that period of our podcasting.
But we had no idea where we'd parked. Can I just say, in, you know, really making sure that we just pulled up by a nice little river. That's all we knew. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, we're actually in a really nice part of the town in a car, but it's just nice to be back in the car because we've made some brilliant podcasts in a car.
Yeah.
Really.
Now, we've come to a location which we're going to reveal in next week's members only podcast. So make sure that you do listen in. If you're a member, you can get that episode on the app. Yeah, you won't want to miss that one. All we'll say is that we've gone up in the world. The postcodes are slightly, quite a lot pricier than where we normally frequent. And right now, we're next to a farmer's field where there's a bird of prey lingering. It's very different from the fast food drive-through that we've...
We could barely afford cars when we first started.
Yeah, so we've worked hard. Anyway, yeah. That's all coming up. It's been a while since we've been able to get together to record some podcasts. So we're really excited to do the next few weeks back together. But this week, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, in the media is Men's Health Week. Mm. And we have been so fortunate over the last 7.5 years to have spoken to some brilliant men, some brilliant male members, title winners, some consultants as well. And we thought, what better way to hand over the reins of the podcast to them? And we went back and I think I worked out there was over 20 different interviews we've done with men, just as one-to-one interviews.
Yeah.
And there were a lot more clips, snippets, voicemail intros, all kinds of things. And we thought, why not just dedicate an episode to the men who've inspired us along the way?
You know, it's so fascinating to watch how men in a slimming group used to be something that you just didn't really see or hear from. And now to see, you know, I've got 4 groups and how many men are in them and how many incredible weight loss journeys have been inspired by other men. And we've spoken to some, you know, who have just stayed in our minds and really had an impact on the wider world, haven't they? So I'm excited to hear them all come together with their little snippets of power and motivation.
And if you know there is maybe a partner, a friend, son, brother, nephew in your life who is struggling with their weight loss journey at the moment, who maybe you know is having that internal dialogue that is difficult and negative around their weight, maybe this is the episode that you share with them. You know, this is if you're listening on the members app, it's also available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So these are public platforms that we really want to help debunk that myth that slimming world is only for women. It's not. It's for everybody, all genders, all ages, ethnicities. And really, we just want to do our part in making sure that the people who need that support know that it's available to them too. So have a think if this is an episode you want to share. Get the hankies ready, because there are some moments that feel really powerful. I mean, we've got some moments in here where people talk about going from feeling like they were trapped in their homes, unable to leave, unable to face people. They were out of work. They had near-death experiences, and how they were able to turn that around. And that's with the support and the love and the community of their group, their consultant, the online hosts. It's it's really powerful to know that, isn't it?
Do you know, I was just thinking as you were saying about groups and different types of people and men, like, I'm just thinking about mine. I've got everything from a 17-year-old young lads to, like, men in their 80s and everywhere in between. And actually what's so lovely to see is how everybody comes together to support each other and how everybody's on the same journey, no matter your age, your gender. Like, we're all there together. So, you know, it's definitely one to think about if you know someone who might need some support.
Especially when we come to, like, conversations around food as well, because we've talked through on the episodes previously about how many men may think that it's all about the exercise and it's about going to the gym or becoming a runner, when actually that could play a part in it. But really this bigger conversation around, let's look at habit change and behaviours around food. And that's really the key about finding these new choices, the foods that you can enjoy and eat and fill up on these free foods, which don't mean that you don't go hungry, you don't need to starve yourself. And that's the key. And really support, you know, losing weight is difficult, losing weight on your own is even more difficult. And sometimes it's about tuning into the support that Slimmer Maud has that allows you, someone there to kind of cheer you on the weeks where maybe you've had a wobble, someone to help you navigate life's ups and downs, to work out how do you keep doing this through Christmas, birthdays, holidays, all this stuff. And that's the difference that, you know, working with someone like Anna here as a consultant, I've seen as a member, these changes that, you know, between me and Anna, we've lost 9 stone together. And more importantly, we've managed to keep it off. And that's the ticket that we love, that so many of the men you're going to hear from today, they found a way through. They found a way through this, and it is possible.
And living their best life, still partying, still holidaying, still being out with their friends, eating with their families. So it's just knowing it's a different route they've taken, but you are going to be blown away.
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll let some of the music roll to kind of give you those moments to pause in between these stories. And we haven't managed to squeeze everybody in, all the men that we've heard from, but you can always go back to our back catalogue and flick through and find those stories as well. But really honoured. And for all the men that have played a part in either commenting, sending us messages, listening, just engaging in the Slimmer World podcast community, we thank you so much and send you lots of love. And here are just a few of those stories, just to make you sit back and think about things perhaps in a different way. See you in a bit.
Bye for now.
It started at school, if I'm honest. So secondary school, I was always the fat kid. I went from being captain of my football and cricket team at primary school to being a fat kid at secondary school. The only good thing was that I kept growing until I got to 6'2", because I would have struggled to get through doors if I hadn't have done so because of the weight. When I was 22, unfortunately, my dad took ill. My dad had been ill for a while. He hadn't been healthy for a while, but he had a heart attack in hospital and he passed away in the May of 96. And I was 22 and I'd lost a guy who was should have been... We started to become good friends, and I didn't take it well. I basically hid in food, and as my 20s progressed, I got heavier and heavier. I didn't log every weight, but I know that when I got elected to the borough council in May 99, my weight was 29 stone and I was 25 years old.
Wow.
I remember that election campaign, and the day of the election itself, I was struggling to get up a road that's not particularly, it's probably a 1 in 10 gradient, but by the end of the day, I was finished and I thought I was having a heart attack. And so it spurred me to lose 3 or 4 stone. And then I stopped and put it back on again. But yeah, so basically since the age of 25, I've been at least 25 stone or more. And so as time went on, the weight just kept going. So there I was in lockdown 2020, and I was 34 and a half stone. You know, got 3 years till I'm 50 to get my act together. And 6 months later, I hadn't lost a pound because I hadn't made a lifestyle change. And I can remember the day now. I even remember the date, 14th of July in 2020, I went to the food warehouse in Kettering and I put on the conveyor belt some Slim World meals and some food that didn't help. So crisps, biscuits, donuts, all that stuff. And I was literally putting it on with one hand, Slim World meal, the other hand, pancakes, Slim World meal, donuts. And I just looked at the conveyor belt and went, what on earth am I doing? There were other words actually that went through my head, but this is a family podcast, so I'll spare you those words.
But, yeah.
And it just hit home, and it was a case of, well, no wonder I'm not, and because I was generally asking myself, but I'm having so many good days, what's going on? Yeah, I was eating for England on the other day. And so I said to myself, well, I either do this or I don't. I either try stopping or I don't. I recognize these are all bad trigger foods and I just can't trust myself around them. So since July 2020, I've had zero biscuits. I've had zero crisps. I've had zero donuts. I've had about five slices of cake, about three takeaways. I just didn't miss it. But that first week, I lost 7 pounds.
Wow. I mean, it really sounds like you chose life instead of this food that wasn't really helping you live.
Basically, yeah. You have condensed my story into, yes, I did indeed choose life. And I should now buy a T-shirt, I'm sure.
But to start your journey at over 38 stone, just generally living must have been so, so tough for you. So to have made these changes, did you feel the impact of the changes you were making quite quickly, or was it something that you felt happened over quite a long period of time?
You're right. You get used to it. It's amazing what you get used to. You get used to the steering wheel rubbing your stomach. Or let's be honest, not rubbing your stomach, almost having to breathe in at times if you're turning left. You get used to parking at the end of a row to make sure you had nobody on your right-hand side as you're opening the door. You get used to selecting an aisle seat simply because you don't want to be in the person next to your seat. The impact was very, very soon. I'd certainly lost 4 or 5 stone by the end of that year. And then the next year I lost another 7 stone, and then the next year after that I lost another 3 stone. Hearing for the first time 19 on those scales, I cried.
Oh yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, we are our own worst critic. We say things to ourselves that we would never dare of saying to somebody else. I had to basically stop myself at times going, well, why are you saying you can't? You don't know if you can't. You haven't tried.
Yeah. You know, we talked about like the fact that the idea of this new number for your age, your birthday milestone, was that a motivation for you? Because, you know, we've kind of been thinking about what motivates people. What is the why? Was that your why, or were there other whys along the way?
It was a why, but I wanted to live. I was late 40s and I was over 500 pounds. I was moving around and everything I did was a challenge. And at the end of the day, I would come home tired. And that's just not the way to live. I didn't want to be in a situation whereby I get wheeled in.
It's okay, mate. Take a breath.
I didn't want to get wheeled in at my own funeral. Because there was no way that 4 or 6 people would be comfortable carrying.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've never said that out loud before.
Yeah. We understand.
Between 30, 33 and kind of like, you know, the 3-4 years before I even joined Slimming World, I had tried shakes, I'd tried pills, potions, the works, you know, everything here. And you know, nothing could work. Things had, you know, lost the weight, I just put it back on again because it just wasn't normal, now I realize. So There was a moment where actually I was getting ready for work, got my daughter ready for work. She's sitting there all ready for, in her school uniform, and I'm sitting there now, you know, just trying to do my shoelaces. And I remember just bending down, straight, just a standard thing we can all do, can't we? We've been doing it for so many years. And I kind of leaned forward, bend down to do my shoelace, and I couldn't reach my shoelace. And I was holding my breath, and I was tucking my belly in. And, you know, in the end, I had to try to do it from the side. And I still couldn't do it. And I honestly, I felt like a bit of a letdown for myself. I thought, actually, this is something that we all take for granted. We can all do it. But, you know, my belly was getting in the way. And I remember saying to my daughter, she was probably 5, 6 at the time. I said, oh, you know, and hey, do you mind helping daddy tie his shoelace? And she did it. And she said to me, oh, you know, I hope I've done it okay. You know, and I just thought, oh, my God, like there's this little girl who can barely tie her own shoelaces. I should be tying hers. And I'm asking her to do something which actually we all take for granted. And is that a great place to be? Is that the right role model I want to be giving my daughter, you know, at the start of her life? And that was, for me, the big moment. You know, they always say, oh, you need to have like an emotional link to your dream. Well, that was my emotional link. It was, am I letting her down? Am I not being a good role model to her? And, you know, is this what she thinks normal? And they, that was the thing that pushed me. I was like, right, there's a leaflet on top of my microwave. It says Slimming World. I don't know what this thing is. I've heard people do it, but I need to just give it a chance.
Well, I think we should probably say, actually, you've actually done a little bit of recording yourself, haven't you, for this episode? I think this is possibly a good time to hear from some of your family about some of the things that you're mentioning, like fighting over the fruit bowl. Should we have a listen? This is your conversation with your daughter, who's talking about her experience of Slimming World, but also what change she's seen in you and also to the family.
Well, I remember, obviously, before lockdown, I used to go with my dad and I used to set up and pack up. I was even the raffle lady, which was really exciting because I could go around the room, say hi to everybody, have a bit of a chat, and also sell them raffle tickets, which was really exciting. I also loved that everybody was smiling, all the members were friendly. And I remember it used to just be my little thing where I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm really excited to go.
Anna, have you changed how you eat?
I remember when I would barely eat 2 apples in a year, let alone 2 apples a day. I mean, fruit is now my go-to snack. Like, if I'm hungry, I'll just go and grab a piece of fruit. Even my brother, he loves grapes and pears to the point we have to fight over them because there's only one of each left. I think slowly, our family has come to the agreement that as Asians, our food has loads of oil in it, and I'm not even kidding. Now we've realised that it all tastes the same, so we all eat the Slimming World friendly version of the curry, and I think it is way more healthier for us as a family. And personally, my favourite are the Slimming World chips, and my mum makes a lovely roast chicken, and I'd love to top it off with a salad.
Anna, tell us, how has Slimming World changed your dad?
First of all, I'm not trying to be biased, but how amazing does he look now? I mean, he's so much more confident, and in family pictures, I remember he always used to hide at the back or hide behind somebody because he didn't want anybody to see him. But now he's so confident, he wants to be at the front of the pictures for everybody to see him. Now he is so much more healthier. I mean, he can come to me on my school trips and he can play with us at the park and run around with us. I think that Slimming World hasn't just helped my dad. It's helped my entire family. I mean, now me and my brother have got our dad back.
It definitely has been a journey. When I got diagnosed with my diabetes, it was the first time from my mind, actually. I didn't think that there was anything wrong. And I just went for a checkup one day. I was feeling tired and was going to the toilet a lot and didn't think much about it, and went to the doctors, and then, hey presto, yeah, you've got type 2 diabetes. And it knocked me for 6, to be quite truthful. I wasn't expecting it. At that point, decided, no, I've got to do something about it. And that's when I really started my journey.
how do you go from getting diagnosed, which must be really quite a jolt to your system? How do you take that, that kind of digest it and then go and do something about it? How did that happen?
Well, it got to the stage, I mean, that was November 2017 I got diagnosed, and I was coming up to becoming 50, and I thought, nah, I've got to do something now. So I really, really just wanted to do something about it. And to be fair, the nurse, when I went to my checkup and got diagnosed, said, you can do something about it, you just need to try and lose weight, etc. So I did, and I did try myself to lose a bit of weight. And over the next year, I probably did. I lost probably about another stone and a half myself before even going to Slimming World. But it was slow and it was hard going. And at that point, I thought, no, I need to do something about it now. So it was a case of into Slimming World, January 2019. 14 months later, I'd lost 8 stone, 4.5 pounds. And believe it or not, on the same week, I had my checkup for my diabetes. And at that point, they had told me I'd reversed my diabetes and to come off my tablets.
How incredible. That is just astounding. Were they as shocked as you were? Were they like, look what you've done?
Oh, totally. I mean, the nurse that gave me the news and that, she was absolutely astounded. I mean, when I walked through the door, obviously, from 25 stone being down to the 15 stone that I was, walking through the door, she says, right, no, I can see you've made a big, big difference. But she was that astonished and loved it so much. She wished I could actually speak to her other patients.
I've had asthma the whole of my life, but also sleep apnea as well. And yeah, because of the various bits and pieces I had going on, they sort of suggested it was a good time to do sort of a general MRT, just to sort of see where I was with everything. And that's when they'd done some blood tests, and they sort of come back through the roof. Through the roof is an understatement on what my cholesterol was. Through the roof, keep going, and through the stratosphere, it was ridiculously high. Yeah, so pre-diabetic as well, and various other factors sort of were all not where they should be. The sort of conversation was, you need to do something around your weight now. If you want to sort of prolong your life and enjoy that time with your family.
It's terrifying hearing that kind of news though, isn't it? It's something, because we're a very similar age. It's like, you don't feel you're at that age where you should be hearing things like that. How did you take that information and then decide to do something with it? Because I know I meet many people who that information doesn't sit well with, and they take a while to kind of process that before they do something. Were you like, no?
Yeah. I knew anyway. Over the years, I've always struggled with my weight. But when I was younger, it was sort of easier to sort of drop it off. But through the various fad diets and everything else I've done over the years, it was always easy to drop off, but it always sort of come back plus some. But the older I got, the harder it was to sort of stick with any sort of diet plan or see any sort of improvement. But I'd always sort of kidded myself that I was just destined to be a big chap, and that was me genetically. I must have low metabolism, and that was it. Whatever I eat, I'm always going to end up the same size. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that I was overweight, and I had to do something about it. But I needed that sort of confirmation from the doctor to tell me, because then it was just a case of, well, you can't kid yourself anymore. It's there in front of you now. You've got to do something about it.
That wake-up call, isn't it?
Yeah. The biggest changes for me was just around preparation, getting up in time in the morning to have a decent breakfast, a healthy breakfast, making something I can take to work, and having healthy snacks with me sort of to fill me up during the day. I'm not finding myself standing in a petrol station buying yum-yums.
Yeah, it's so easily done.
You know what? That takes a lot of courage. I mean, you must be really proud of yourself being able to admit that and have overcome that.
Yeah, it's something what I can sort of admit and look at now, because, yeah, it is behaviour of an addict, isn't it, these sort of things. And I can look back at it and not laugh about it now, because, it is a sort of a serious thing. But my wife loves a Toblerone. She's one of these people what can have a Toblerone in the house and it will be there for a year until she decides she wants a bit, and then she might have a bit, and then she'll get through the tobe her own within sort of a couple of months, whereas I'm the first night it's in the house, it's gone. But so she'd have like boxes of celebrations or something at Easter what someone would buy her, but the shop over the road sell the same boxes, so I knew that when she was out I could eat the box of celebrations, then go over the road, buy another box and replace it.
Oh no.
So it was always there.
Yeah.
And then one day it wasn't there, and she was like, where's my box of celebrations gone? And then, yeah, just sort of had to put my hands up and admit, say, well, actually, yeah, I did eat it. But actually, I haven't just eaten the one box. I've already replaced it five times.
You know, in your job as a mechanic, I'm just thinking about watching, having a tyre changed and jacking up a car. Like, physically, that's a demanding role. Do you feel like that's got easier as you've lost the weight and got fitter?
So, yeah, I've been a mechanic from school, and that was sort of probably when my weight started to really pile on, because I had the money in my pocket to buy what I wanted, and there was a cafe over the road. But yeah, physically it is a hard job. In the workshops it's hard, and roadside it's hard. My job itself sort of changed about 7 years ago. I sort of manage a team now, and it was sort of a bit of a hybrid role where I was still sort of working roadside, but that was getting harder and harder and harder. There was times where I'd sort of lay under a car and sort of scoot under a car to have a look at a problem, and then find, you know, getting back out from under the car was a bit of a problem. Putting yourself in all kinds of positions, bending up in sort of footwells and trying to find rattles and noises, and yeah, size was becoming an issue. And you know, doing this job roadside in the summer, the heat whilst you're doing, even like say something like a wheel change, when you're doing a wheel change on one of these sort of bigger 4x4s, those wheels are pretty hefty. And when the sun's blasting down, it it makes you sweat.
Yeah,
and it does. I can barely fill up my tyre with air without getting wet on. Do you know what I mean? But it just goes to show, like, actually something you maybe hadn't recognised at the time was becoming much more difficult is now something you could do with ease, which is brilliant.
Yeah, like when you sort of live in it, you don't realise the impact, and you just assume that that's the way life is and life's hard. And the same with, like we were saying, with the mental health side of it. I didn't realise at the time. A lot of people sort of said, is there a positive impact on your mental health? Was your mental health impacted during the times of when you was overweight? And it certainly was, but you don't realise how much until you've had that prolonged experience. It's the longest I've been now this weight, because I've been down to target for 6 months now. And yeah, it's only sort of once you've had that period of time and that time of reflection, you can look back and realise that, yeah, you know, there was some pretty rough times during those years.
Yeah, my heaviest I was 31.3, and that was at 19.
Wow. So, and what was life like?
Depressing. I didn't realise how unhappy I was until I started actually trying to do stuff. And then I realised I couldn't do anything, because everything that I wanted to do either had a weight limit or I didn't fit in a harness to do, go to the amusement parks. I didn't fit in the straps. So I actually went with my dad and I couldn't get on two rides. And that happened, and then I had a couple other issues with clothes. I couldn't buy clothes, so I was in 6XL. I was buying online.
And why? What was your why? What made you think, I want to do something about this now?
Mainly because I didn't feel like I had any drive. I didn't have anything I actually wanted to do in life. I didn't feel like I was succeeding. A short while into actually losing a bit of weight, I ramped it up because I found out my sister needed a kidney. So we went to an appointment. I was told I was too heavy. They gave me, it was about 10 stone to lose, and I lost it. And then they said, right, if you lose some more, it'll be better for us, we can do more tests. So I just kept, every time I went back, they asked me to lose a bit more, and I just kept setting that as my new target at Slimming World. And that's just how I kept it off.
Wow, that's a very powerful why. I mean, what does the phrase, the ripple effect, mean for you, and the impact, I suppose, losing weight has had on your life?
So on mine, it's obviously allowed me to do more things, allowed me to achieve things that I didn't think I would. And then it's also helped my family. So my dad's now doing quite healthy eating. It's taken a while, but he has decided that's what's going to happen. I didn't push him on it. I just let him do his thing and they let me do my thing. My uncle as well, he's doing very good. One of my aunties in Wales, she's doing really good. two of my aunties actually joined Slimming World. They're both doing really well with that. And they joined because they saw my mum posting about me and talking about me.
And what about, tell us about the mini. Okay, so this, if I've got this right, this was a real passion for you to one day be able to own your own mini, yep. Get in it, drive it. It's something you share memories with your granddad. Yep. Tell us more about the mini dream.
So I always wanted a classic mini. He's a 1994 SPI. He's a 1.3 litre and he's very cute, but he's in British Racing Green with his stripes. He's got his pinstripes. But I used to go to shows with my granddad because we like car shows and we like anything classic, really. And we always used to try Can I Sit in One? Because I love The Italian Job with Michael Caine, a great film. And I kept trying and kept trying at these events and I could never get into one. And then in May of, I believe, 2023? So last year, I managed to actually sit in one that her mum was very nice to let me in. It happened to be British Racing Green, a bit newer than mine. And I fitted really well. And my granddad took a photo. And then the weekend after, I went with my dad and bought one in Wales.
See, I think this is so interesting, Anna, because we often hear people will find, you know, a photo or they'll hang up a dress so that every day they see that dress hanging up, or they'll have like a physical thing that they're, you know, they're using as a reminder of their why.
Do you know what? Of all the years I've been a member and a consultant, I've never had anybody say a mini. This is the first on me. It's so incredible to have such a big motivation and then for that to come full circle, I think is such an incredible achievement. You know, you felt so proud of yourself.
I think, to be fair, it wasn't just the fact that I felt proud. I felt like it actually, for once, achieved something rather than just keep on hitting brick walls. Because a lot of the time, especially when you're slimming, even though you can just lose a pound or you can stay the same, you sort of beat yourself up a bit because you think you've not done good enough. And I think when I got that, I realised I've done it. I should be a bit nicer to myself.
Yeah.
And I still lost some weight after getting it, but I actually lost like 3 stone after getting it. And I fit perfectly in it now. I love it. But it's definitely, I am a bit too broad. I have to open the window and my arm goes out. But he got a fitting name. He's called Victory. My granddad's called Victor. So it's a bit of his name. And then also Victory because at the same time I started a new job. I'd lost enough weight and I actually got accepted for the scheme with Emma in the same sort of period of time.
Oh.
So it was 4 things that I really wanted to do had sort of collided together. So I was like, there you go. That's my little story.
Wow.
That is the ripple effect right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it now that keeps you here?
Well, the operation for my sister, we got accepted 2 weeks ago, maybe. The healthier I am, the better the person receives my kidney is going to receive. The healthier, obviously, my body is, the healthier the kidney is, and therefore the longer it'll last them. And although it's not directly going to my sister and that she's getting somebody else's, I feel like if somebody's getting mine and she's getting somebody else's, that mine should be, if not the best it can be, because it's only fair, because I think everyone deserves to have the best of whatever they can get. So. If I stay healthy, then they'll be healthy.
The themes that kind of come from both of your stories, you know, a roller coaster ride that you couldn't fit on, your nicknames at school, you've got grief there from friends passing, using alcohol to not, you know, to cope with feelings, socialising, how to reevaluate that. We've got, you started running, you've done marathons, you've met partners. I mean, I don't know how we're going to fit it all in the podcast, really. If I come to you first, Matt, I mean, how do you kind of sum up, like, where you were and where you are now, if that's even possible?
Yeah, it's even hard for me to take in sometimes. I just look back and think, how did this happen? It's just, I look back to who I still am, but who I was, and think, wow, how can that change from there to there in the space of 5 years? It's just absolutely crazy.
So take us back to what you were thinking 5 years ago. Give us an idea of what that internal dialogue was like for you 5 years ago.
I was trying to say to myself, it's okay, I can do this on my own. I can do this on my own. And I tried many times to do it on my own. And it eventually snapped when, as we touched on, when I lost my friend. I just went into a year of self-neglect. And I thought, in the end, I thought some of my friends had said, my mum and dad were very concerned. I just thought something's got to give. Then I sort of like started to speak to my friends about Slimming World. And they were sort of like, oh, it's not just for women. It's not just for women. I was sort of, but it kind of looks like it is. And so even to the day when I walked up to Steve's door, I saw all the women walking in. I was sort of like, and I started to run away. And the friend that I joined with pretty much chased after me and dragged me in there. And literally as soon as I walked through that door, I was just, there's about five other men there that night. I thought, okay, maybe they're right. Maybe it's not just for women.
Do you think you kind of felt, I see a lot of my members when they see that they're losing weight, that's almost like contagious, isn't it? Like you need to believe you can lose weight to lose weight. Did you buzz off the fact that it started to happen and you were losing weight quite rapidly?
Yeah, I think there was one week I had to maintain and I nearly threw my toys out of the pram completely. I was still like, this isn't right. This is not right. I should be losing every week. But then it didn't dampen it. The big numbers coming in did help, but I was so determined. When I walked through that door, the first night I nearly walked out because I didn't realise I weighed as much as I did. But after that, I was so determined to walk out of there how I wanted to at the end of my journey.
Talk to us about the changes you made then food-wise, because there must have been some extraordinary changes you had to make to get to food optimising.
Yeah, definitely. I lived on takeaways. Working in a betting shop, I was sometimes working 13 hours a day. And then I'd go to the pub afterwards because I did used to like a few beers of an evening. And it used to just be takeaways every night. And to be honest, I couldn't really cook. So I did lean on my mum when I first joined Slim World. I was like, mum, I'm going to have some help here. I don't know how to cook. But then I surprised them as well because I did go back to basics. Some meals were really bad. It was all very hit and miss. But yeah, eventually I found my stride and I was cooking for myself every night. And even if I was working those shifts, my day off, I used to batch cook. So I'd always have something to take to me to put in my freezer at work.
I mean, so like, tell us about this running thing then. Sell it to us.
Yeah, because we need it. We need us to know what we're missing because it hasn't rubbed off on me yet. Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't pick up a pair of running shoes until I'd hit Target. All the way through my journey, I only ever walked. And it was when I got to Target, I thought, right, I need another goal. And I'm very goal orientated. So I'd lost my weight at my Target where I was happy with. And I was sort of like, what can I do next? And that's when I entered Norwich has a 10K race. And as we touched on, I lost my friend and that's what started my journey. I thought, right, I'm going to raise some money for her favourite charity. So that was where my running came from. And I downloaded Coach to 5K. And yeah, then I'd done the 10K. And then I thought, right, done that. What's next? Half marathon. Did that. And then my dad had a stroke, which is now led to vascular dementia. And one thing that I was always jealous of people before I lost the weight was how they could do things for charity. And something being so close to my heart, that's when I entered the marathon. And I never dreamt I could do that. And yeah, I did it. And so me 5 years ago before Slim World, that would have only been a dream. And yeah, so running has become a very big part of my daily life now. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit.
Wow. You made me cry. You could see how much how important it is to you. Like your friend would be so proud of you, wouldn't she? It's incredible.
Do you think that all these changes that you've made, Matt, in the last 5 years, it's been so tough for you with what you're going through, you and your mom, looking after your dad, him going into a home. Do you think that the journey of losing weight has made you mentally stronger so that in the last 2 years you could actually really, like, I don't know, mentally cope with what you've had to go through?
Yeah, if I hadn't lost the weight, I don't know how I would have coped with it. My poor mum was she would have most probably lost me if I'm honest. mental health was a big thing before my journey. So I wouldn't have been able to support my family like I have been if I hadn't have joined Slimming World and lost the weight.
You were awarded Greatest Loser 2025 for Slimming World. Let's pick up on an aspect of your story. You were in a store with your daughter and you collapsed in this store. Take us back to what happened.
Yeah, I was going. I felt I was going. So I got them to take my daughter into a different aisle. I never felt so useless in my life. I felt embarrassed, ashamed. They put me on a do not resuscitate in hospital because I had a heart failure and pneumonia. So if anything happened to me, I was gone. Basically, when I came out, got to back to Slimming World and met a few people. One of them, a man called Drew, was the first person to speak to me. And he's invaluable to our group, you know, absolutely invaluable. He's got a heart of gold. That week I went away and lost 22 pounds in my first week.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the motivation they gave me at the group, and that was only on my first trip. We were all there for the same reason. You know, we're all there to, you know, back each other up. And the more I realised, the more all our differences, we were all the same in some way, you know, so we all looked after each other.
So just take us back a bit, because to have gone from being so seriously ill with a do not resuscitate on, which is a huge, mentally, so such a huge thing to bear, to being in intensive care for like over 3 weeks, weren't you? To then join, having the courage to go and join Slimming World. How your friend took you along, but where were you at psychologically at that point? What were you thinking?
Basically, I was prepared. I was ready to be a father and ready to stop being a, you know, a drain and a, you know, and a failure and an embarrassment, and become the man that I knew I could be if I tried hard enough.
Yeah. So tell us about your daughter. What do they think about this transformation? I mean, when you collapse having a heart attack in a superstore to now seeing you, how's that going?
Yeah, now I've got the energy and I can breathe better. I can do everything I need to be a father. I can run around with her. I can do everything I ever wanted. You know, it's liberating.
Yeah.
Do you know, we were talking before about the courage it takes to lose a stone, 2 stone, but 22 and a half stone is a whole different ball game. I mean, to stay motivated, I mean, you've got an incredible consultant, but to stay motivated to lose that amount of weight can't be easy. Talk us through how you've managed to keep that determination up.
I have no intention of breaking my promises. You know, that would be really just the worst thing I think I could do. I promised that I was going to be there as, you know, as time goes by. And time is one of the only things that you cannot buy in this world, but I seem to have, I may have managed it.
By losing that weight, you've kind of bought yourself that time.
Bought myself extra time to be there, you know, for no matter what the future brings. I've got every chance of being there for years to come now. There's no way in hell I'm giving up now. No.